Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the Story Studio. Oh yeah, here we go. Check it out now.
Welcome to the Story Studio, a podcast for an independent publishing company that explores the world of self-publishing, independent art, and the future of storytelling. My name is Luke Condor with a K, and I'm joined by...
Daniel Wilcox.
How's it going, man? Are you alright?
Yeah, all good. How are you?
Pretty good. I'm feeling quite excited.
It's feeling energized.
The start of a new year. There's lots of stuff happening.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy busy because you get to the end of December and you feel almost like that little slump.
Yeah.
But it's already... What day are we on now? We're on the 12th of January, and already I'm like, just nose to the grindstone, non-stop, so much happening that just feeling good.
I've been more productive these past 2 weeks than I was probably the last 2 months of 2016.
Yeah, same. It's kind of embarrassing because you have these jumps where, I don't know, it's probably just a new year thing, and we'll get to, I don't know, mid-February and hit the slump again. Why would because Valentine's Day is always lonely, I kid. But... No, and then you realize how much you can fit into your time, and then suddenly go, like, what have I been doing for?
Yeah, well, we did the Joanna Penn did the what, I don't know what you call it. What it was? It was like goal setting or something for
goal setting for 2017. Yeah,
and she was like, she made this great point that was she had like a really good metaphor for it. It was basically
the rocks thing.
Yeah. So she was saying a lot of people start to get like focused on the little things in what we do. So writing and publishing and creating stuff. So the social media accounts, the follower numbers and stuff, and all that's just sand. And you need to sort of focus on the rocks, which are like the products, I guess, like the books you're making, the actual thing that you're trying to sell, rather than working on the marketing. You should really focus on the big rocks, the stuff that's going to be substantial. It's going to grow your business substantially.
You're struggling.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there are loads of videos out there if people want to check it out. I was watching one the other day because my manager at work just brought it up and was like, check this out. And I was like, oh, I came across this a couple of weeks ago. But yeah, so the idea is obviously if you put all the sand straight into your jar, it will take up, say, half the room. Yeah. If you then put in all your medium rocks, it will take up the rest of the room, and then there's no room for your big rocks, which are obviously, like you say, the tangible products that you are selling that will be your backlist that people can go to and just keep giving you money and making a business.
Yeah.
Whereas if you put in the big rocks first, give it a bit of a shake, put in the medium rocks, give it a bit of a shake, the sand will just slot in, and you'll be amazed at how much you can actually fit into your life if you focus on the right things at the right time.
Yeah. And to put this into like a practical perspective, what I've been doing this past couple of weeks is, so the first chunk of the day is all about like getting as much of, so for example, instead of waking up and getting out of bed and going, oh, I'm just going to check Slack, I'm just going to check emails, and then getting drawn into these little things that don't really matter too much. So the first thing I'm going to do the 2000 words, or I'm going to do 5 script pages, the big things that sort of take, that are going to move what we're doing forward the most.
Yeah. It was manager time versus maker time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So if Joanne's listening to this, massive thank you for the workshop. It was helpful. And yeah, I think that was one of the things that hit me on the head, is that we tend to do quite a lot of organizing and thinking ahead of what we want to do, how we're going to get there, what are the best ways to make things happen. But as sort of 2016 wore on, I was putting less into, I'm actually producing things that this can apply to, that I can start using this for. So for me as well, I've split myself into, I don't do anything, quote, managerial, unquote, until I've sort of done my creative bit. I've put my words in, I've edited what I need to edit, and kind of pushed myself towards actually making the thing that I'm going to sell. Because both are important in their own ways. But like you say, the making stuff is the big rocks.
And also, I kind of feel like, so if I focus on that maker time first, the stuff I've got to get done for that maker time, after I've done that and I've ticked it off the to-do list for the day, I feel like a massive weight has been lifted. It didn't take me long at all to do the manager stuff. I can just fly through that after that, with that sort of floating on that zephyr of the win of the maker time stuff. And then,
and it uses less brain power as well. Yeah. I can easily sit down and go, right, I need to update this on the website. I need to quickly pop this in here. I need to just rearrange a calendar. That's no brain power at all.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And then, so the past, like, not so much the past couple of days, but the past sort of week or two, it's been about like 7:30, 8:00. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm kind of done for the day. And that's amazing.
Do you find then that you kind of go, I could do a bit more?
Yeah, I do, but I've realized that unless I switch that part of my brain off completely and just relax, I'll still be quite tired the following day. But if I just sort of relax, I feel more excited to get back into it in the morning.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that I'll be putting in soon, because I don't know if you can see, but I think I've got bags under my eyes at the minute, because not in a bad way. We've got a lot going on at the minute that's very exciting, that I'm sure we'll mention sort of very, very soon. But since sort of the 2nd of January, it's kind of, I've been putting everything into it. And at the same time, I'm sure that any part-time writers out there, that also parents, will understand, I've got a 2-year-old son that's decided to start making bedtime hell. So between work and everything else, I'm trying to make sure I've got that time in, as well as being a dad. So it's difficult to juggle, but obviously I love it. So
is that a terrible twos?
It's a terrible twos. Yeah, he kind of slapped me in the face with it like a shovel. So it appeared out of nowhere, and it now means that what was my 2.5-3 hours of relaxation time in the evening now goes into putting a child back in its bed.
Yeah, you know what they say though, the terrible twos are solved with booze.
For who? Which side?
I don't know. I just made that up just then. Take it anywhere you want.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll have to find out what his drink is, but I'll give it a try.
So today's episode, by the way, last episode we did like a reflection on the year 2016, what happened. So this year, I mean, this episode.
You're not wrong.
This episode we're going to be talking about this year, this episode, we're going to be talking about this year. And the things we want to do, goal setting, I guess you could call it, or making our goals public. I've got my own sort of method of making goals, which I've developed over a few years. I don't know how you work, Dan, generally, but we'll go into that as well. But first, we need to talk about the big whoops for the week.
I'll take it away. I'll kick in 2017.
Yeah, go for it.
Because mine's kind of related to the topic anyway. So for a couple of years, I've been trying to get myself organized. I've been trying to find a way that works for me, where I can kind of track all the things that I'm, quote, supposed to be doing, and just feel a bit more organized. And traditionally what I've tried to do is just, there are millions of apps on every app store that I've sort of tried, you know, from calendar apps to things like Evernote to project management like Asana and Basecamp, and I've always found it quite difficult. And I stumbled across a little thing called bullet journaling, which I don't know, I mentioned this to you, have you managed to look into it yet?
No, I wasn't gonna look into it, but I didn't.
Okay. Well, bullet journaling in its most simplest form is really, really simple. It's basically adding an index to a notebook. If you're going to put it sort of in its most lame terms, but if you YouTube what people can do with a bullet journal and how they arrange it, people do some amazing things. But I basically just literally bought a Moleskine notebook, which you can see there, Luke, but if I'll let people hear it. And yeah, so it's just like a blank notebook. And then all you do is, as you go through, you just dedicate the first few pages to an index.
So what are you indexing? What?
Ah, so this is it.
Okay.
So you start off, I won't do a full tutorial, but you start off basically with your overview of the year. So you can kind of see from a bird's eye view, and then zoom in, basically work month by month. So at the front there's January, but you don't put in the rest, because on the pages between, you can put whatever you want. So I've got one which is my project that I'm working on for the year.
Mm.
One is a habit tracker of early mornings, word counts and things like that. One's a sort of day by day rundown of what I've been doing.
Your Moleskine didn't come like that, did it? It looks like
that's all, it's all hand drawn. And so it does sound a bit lame, but if you look into it, it's kind of it's basically everything that I needed. It's a notepad, it's a journal, it's a diary, literally whatever you want it to be, like an empty notepad. But it's just been called bullet journaling, and I guess giving it its name makes it a bit cooler. But I found that just working through the day, there's this system as well. If you don't complete the thing to do on the day, there's like patterns and symbols to help you move it over and keep track of what's actually important in your life.
Yeah. That sounds cool. I think there's a few things like that. There's the passion planner and stuff. Like, you know, these big notebooks that people have made where Kat's got one. It's called the 5-Minute Journal.
Yeah.
Where you every day, it doesn't look quite as detailed as yours there. But the idea is just to, every day you write something creative, you think of three things you're grateful for, something that happened. You know what I mean? Yeah. It just keeps you sort of present and happy. So my big whoops there are two-parter. The part one is that it's an app called Zombies Run. So have you heard of this app? Have you used it? Do you know much about it?
I think if it's what I think it is, then yes. Is it? You explain it. I don't want to ruin it.
So it was crowdfunded initially, kickstarted. It's a collaboration between a literary novelist called Naomi Alderman and an app developer. I think they're called Six to Start or something like that. But the idea is that it's to gamify running. So you've got all like the running apps for Strava and stuff like that, so you can track your running and where you've gone. But this, you put your headphones on and there's like a story happening around you. You're in a post-apocalyptic world. There's zombies everywhere. Every now and again, zombies are catching up to you, and you have to run. You have to like speed up to get away from them. It's really exciting. And then as you're running, you sort of pick up like little bits and bobs. So you pick up like bottles of water and supplies. And then when you get back to your home base, you can build your base basically. But it's really cool. And it's like various like missions and stories, and it goes on, and like it's a proper ongoing drama. So it makes you want to go out. It makes you want to go out and run.
That sounds pretty cool. There was a similar thing. I remember this was quite a few years ago, I think, when GPS and 3G on phones was quite early. But I remember it was a similar app, and it puts yourself in the world. But on your phone itself, they actually show zombies coming towards you.
Okay.
And as you move, they kind of move after you, and you have to try and escape them. And you can set the level of the zombies from sort of really slow, traditional, sluggish, or really fast, sort of I Am Legend.
That's really cool. So part two is that they are doing an apprenticeship to write scripts for Zombies Run. So I'll put the link in the show notes if people are interested. But the idea is you apply, you send them some sample scripts and stuff you've worked on in the past. And if you get in, you get like 6 months of tutoring. We write scripts for them. They probably won't use the scripts, but they'll give you feedback on what they like and what they don't like. You'll get £2,000, which is always nice. And also, if they do use your scripts, then you get paid for that as well, on top of the £2,000. So the idea is that I think they're hoping by the end of this 6-month trial, this apprenticeship, that they'll have people that they can, write scripts for them as a paid job.
That's fantastic.
So, yeah, it's amazing. So I put in my application. I think if anyone's interested in writing for games or new media, then I think it's definitely worth it.
Best of luck, man. When do you hear back?
I don't know, but the woman Naomi emailed me back to say she's not looking at any applications until the end of the month. So maybe middle of February or something like that.
Nice. It's exciting, man.
Yeah. So, goals. How do you want to do this? Because I've got like a list of goals that I want to do. It's not a very big list.
Should we say how we approach goal setting and then what our goals are and planning to achieve them?
Okay. So I've made many mistakes in goal setting in the past where I've either just... A few years ago, I tried it where I just made a big list of goals, things I wanted to do in a year, and then did a few but sort of lost interest throughout the year. So I don't like to make concrete goals for the year anymore. Instead, I like to make what I call compass points. So they are like set in stone, but they're malleable and they can change as you go out, as you go through the year. But then I break that down into 3 months and go, right, for the next 3 months, they are concrete and I have to hit these goals in these 3 months that will push me towards those compass points. And then in the next 3 months, I'll go, okay, so where do you want to go now? What worked well? What didn't work well? Where should we change direction? Should we do something different? And I think it just makes it a bit more maneuverable and you feel less locked in. You feel less like a failure if you change your mind. Do you know what I mean?
To yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that's one of the key things that I've come to realize in the last sort of year or so is understanding that they are, like, all goals are malleable, and it's not always realistic to say that in 365 days, which is a long period of time, that is still something that you will want. That is something that will either be achievable or will still maybe even that goal wouldn't exist anymore, depending on what it is.
Yeah.
But I think that mindset, and actually that's a fantastic way of doing it, is setting those comfort points and going from there. Because personally, until this year, I had never set a goal in my life. And by this year, I mean 2017. No, I am.
What about like a New Year's resolution?
No, to be fair, I was inspired by you, to be honest. It was a case of, I don't know, I've always been just kind of a bit hedonist, I guess, and just my heart wants what it wants at that time. And, you know, traditionally, if you're in the jobs that I've worked in, my goal, if you want to call it a goal, has always been to kind of just push that a bit further or to work my way up. But I've never been one to look long term. It's always been very, very short term for me. Let's just see what happens. Life is short. Just go for it.
Yeah.
But in seeing sort of the H&C goals over the years and seeing seagulls and seeing what, like, Joanna Penn's workshop and just how other people do it, I thought I'd give it a go. And I've never felt as passionate and as dedicated to something as I do to writing and to being successful. And there's not a part of me that doesn't want sort of the full-time writer's life and for H&C to be successful. So in that, I guess that's kind of my motivation to go, if I have longer term goals, which, you know, 5-year plan, be a full-time writer, other stuff as well, but that's a key one, then that is something that I'll have to set. And so I've kind of gone from that.
Yeah. Okay, so have you set any goals for the year?
Like, yes.
Okay, so, and how concrete are you in achieving these goals?
I have picked one goal that is concrete.
Okay, cool. And what was that one?
It's one goal that's kind of a collection of mini goals. It's to publish the first 3 volumes of They Rot, one of Lazarus, and at least one of my Independent Tundra series.
Okay, so
that's it.
There's 1, 2, 3, 4 novels. The 5th novel, did you say, was the first in your...
In the series. It's kind of... It'll be between 20 and 30,000 words, so it's okay. Bordering on novella, but...
Yeah. So that would be your... One of your big rocks, right?
Yep.
Cool. Okay. That's very similar to one of mine. I've published 6 books. I'm thinking... So we're co-writing at least 4 of those. So Lazarus, They Rot 2...
they rot
really bad in the 3rd one, and then I've got 2 more books that I'm thinking, it's either going to be hipster free or I might do 2 like novellas, because I want to do something a bit more experimental, but I don't want to waste time.
This is the thing, isn't it?
Yeah, because I really want to focus on stuff that's going to help us both get to where we want to get faster. And I know I can do the literary stuff, like once we're settled. So I just have to keep trying to push that back a bit.
Yeah, I keep knocking Tundra back just for the sake of the bigger courts, but
yeah.
I think it'll probably work out in sort of how where we're at with They Rot and Lazarus at the minute, that I'll be working on parts of the Rot and there'll be a bit of like a gap sort of overlay, maybe where you might have some time to put in some extra bits, but they're quite it's quite a big ask considering that last year we obviously spent 7 months at the minute getting the Rot to a point where it's finished.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it?
Yes, audience, it's finished.
It is finished, yeah. If you want an ARC copy, we are looking for advanced readers.
That doesn't mean like A plus in all of your English
you
lessons.
You have to be extremely good at reading to read this book. But yeah, get in touch if you want that, because we're looking for those people. I've lost my train of thought. What were we saying? Oh yeah, so it took 7 months to get to this point, which is kind of crazy. I really do feel like we could do it faster.
100%.
I don't know what we'd do differently, but I just, maybe...
I also think if when we say it as it took 7 months to write They Rot, it does sound a lot less of an achievement than it took 7 months to get to They Rot finished and Lazarus, what I would probably call about two-thirds through.
Yeah. Lazarus is... We've kind of realised that Lazarus is a much bigger story that has a lot more moving parts, is way more complicated, whereas They Rot is so I wouldn't say narrow, but it's focused, I think, in what it's doing.
I think it's more commercial. It's just a very it's a very straight-laced thriller. This happens, but as we've kind of got more into Lazarus, some more other stories have unfolded, and we've realised that there's a lot of back history that we need to put into place, but it's moving forward, which is the key thing.
So we've got very similar goals in that instance. That's my first main goal for the year, is to publish 6 books. Again, I'm thinking 4 novels and 2 novellas, but we'll see how that goes. So in terms of how I break that down, I've now gone, okay, so for Q1, to get all businessy, for the first 3 months, we're going to launch Day Rot on February 1st, and I'm also going to write at least 50,000 words for the second book. So that's my Q1 goal. I think I'll do more. I think we'll get more words in.
But, yeah.
But then when it comes to Q2, I'll see where we are from there, and I'll look at how I can push towards that end goal of publishing 6 books.
Yeah.
And recalculate. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good way to do it. It's I'm working a bit similarly. I've set because I've realized that what I've stopped doing, at least, is setting a deadline for when I want something to be finished, a realistic deadline. So because you wrote the first draft of The Rot, I wrote the first draft of Lazarus, we swapped, but in that handover I don't think we actually set a deadline. This is where I think we got lazy towards the end of the year. Okay. So we said around this date, but obviously that wasn't like, this is happening. And I mean, hopefully the momentum from the launch on February the 1st will kind of power through and keep that motivation for the rest of the year. But setting a deadline for finishing draft 3 of Lazarus is on my sort of first 3 month part.
Yeah.
And also writing the first draft of the other stories, serial story, which I don't think we've actually mentioned before, but
no,
that's happening.
Okay, we'll go into that at some point. I do have to ask you a quick question. So we're launching They Rot on February the 1st. We need ARC readers, get in touch. So it could go one of two ways. It could be massively successful and sell millions of copies, which...
That's the only way.
Yeah. It could... be average, like sell like 200 copies or something in the first couple of weeks, which I'd be pretty impressed with, actually. I'd be quite happy with that. Or it could just do nothing. Sell like one or two copies to friends and stuff. How would you feel if it did nothing? Like, would that make you not want to work on book two? Or how would you feel about that?
At its core, I stand by what I sort of said on a previous episode, that if it doesn't do well, if we don't make any money, then I've enjoyed the process. It's been massively educational, and the fact that I'll be able to hold a tangible book at the end of it will be sort of enough for me.
Yeah.
In terms of writing a second or a third, I think I'd be leaning towards, I might change my mind sort of with a bit more thinking, but I'm leaning towards at least writing the second. To see if, because I know that a lot of people won't purchase book one until they've seen that there's a few more to follow up with.
Yeah.
Just because it looks a bit more professional and like it's kind of, the story's more mature.
Yeah.
It's something you can invest in. I mean, myself, I a couple of weeks ago just went on Amazon to look for a post-apoc series to get my teeth into. And I had that experience of going through and going, what would I pick? And went for something that's got like 14 books out in case I did get hooked. Sadly, the end let me down, but the actual writing itself was fantastic. I think I'd lean towards at least a second, see maybe if we could do something to push the sales go from that.
Even if it doesn't sell, it's not a failure in any way, I don't see, because it's the best book that I've ever written or been involved in writing. It's backlist, so when we release books in the future, it's something that people can go back into our and backlist, and it's more to sell, more product on the bookshelf and all that.
I am a finisher though.
Yeah. And also I really can't see it not doing well enough
something
to make me happy enough to continue. Do you know what I mean? Because it's all sort of in place.
I'm invested in this story. I'm going through it, and we were saying just before we actually got on recording that I just finished my final read through, and instead of being able to skim through it, I got sucked into the story, and it was just the characters that I like. I think the story itself has merit. I also think, interestingly, that it's got a bit of a slower burn than a lot of post-apoc, and a bit more that can hook you into the bigger story.
Yeah,
I won't say what.
I'm really proud of the book. I think it's really good.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Okay, so what was your second goal?
So my second goal is the other stories. I guess kind of in general, but definitely making it bigger and better. And Are we kind of, how much are we saying on this?
Well, I mean, so just to put things into perspective, I think we kind of realized late last year just how big the other stories could be. Maybe not so like big, but like how
big.
Established it could be. Like it's just something that we made as an experiment in some ways, but like there's a really genuine fan base there. There's growing listeners all the time. There's I don't know, a good backlog of episodes now, and we just kind of realized that we really are not giving the show what it deserves, like the effort it deserves. So we're gonna do TOS 2.0 launch on the anniversary of a year, so that'll be April time. At the same time, we're gonna be creating a sideways podcast. So the other stories is like short stories, different stories in similar themes every month. The sideways podcast is gonna be a serial. So it's going to be a sequential story told over a longer time.
Mm.
And that's you're taking the lead on that, right?
Yeah, I think it's something that I've been wanting to do for a while. Obviously, there's only so many plates you can kind of juggle.
Yeah.
But I know that a few fans have kind of said that they wanted more. And I think it'll be interesting to see what we can do with a longer story, and how, because that'll be a very, very different experience to writing sort of a 2,000 word short story. You've got to find a way to hook people in and to make the story self-contained in the long run and in each episode, but with enough of a hook to thread you through. I think we're kind of working out the logistics. So whether we go for sort of a X amount of episodes and then finish off and close that story and introduce a new story, or we go for sort of a season by season basis, like something for anyone who's listening to it, like We Are Alive.
Yeah.
And go down that hole. So if anyone has any suggestions or ideas, then obviously feel free to get in touch and let us know. But yeah, we're kind of turning the cogs on that and seeing how that's going. And that's in itself is my second big rock, is pushing that and trying to make sure that that happens, because there's something in the other stories, and the more time goes by, we see sort of other people and how they've put their podcasts together, and I feel like there's not anything outside the podcast for fans to sink their teeth into.
Yeah, like we were looking at the other, I kind of feel like short horror podcasts are pretty well established as a pretty hungry, there's a hungry market for that kind of thing. Which we didn't really know. We didn't really have any idea about, I don't think, when we first started.
We went in blind.
Yeah, sort of fell into it. But we've sort of seen, like, there's a No Sleep podcast. I know that there's Welcome to Night Vale, which has been around for a long time. It's kind of semi-famous. There's all these other podcasts. I'm completely blanking, but they're there.
Pseudopod.
Pseudopod, yeah. And they're all really established. They've all got, like, dedicated websites, and they've got, like, merchandise. They've got some of them got like premium, like ad free streams, and they've all got like massive Patreon subscriber numbers. It's insane. But we've kind of seen that. We've kind of gone like, okay, so this is like a good guideline for what we can do with this show. And I really want to build it up. I really want to get like a good income coming through that business, because I want to start paying narrators. I want to start paying editors and making it a solid business in itself.
Yeah, there's only so much. I mean, I love writing and I love sort of my involvement in the other stories from start to finish, but there'll only be so long that we can kind of keep going if we're getting nothing back when we're trying to work on other projects as well, because the bottom line is like, this is what we want to do for a living. It's a business model, and we need some return. Otherwise, it's just not a good investment of our time.
Yeah. Whereas, like,
which would be a massive shame.
Yeah. I would hate to lose the other stories, but I don't think we would. But just as a side note, the other stories have been nominated for Best Fiction Podcast of the Year.
I was just about to pull that in. Yeah.
By thisishorror.co.uk. And it's up against these other podcasts that have these massive Twitter follow, like social media followings and all this stuff, which is amazing. So, I mean, obviously the quality of the podcast is there for it to get nominated against these big shows. We just need to up our game and...
But it's not even that it's nominated, is it? It's shortlisted.
Oh, is that what it is?
I think
so. I don't know the difference.
Well, not if you're nominated, it's you can get loads of people nominated for a thing, but then I think This Is Horror go through and actually pick the top six.
Okay, cool. So we're shortlisted, which is better. So I mean, it just sort of proves to me anyway that we're not giving it what it deserves right now. And I'd hate to sort of not do that and not take that opportunity.
Yeah.
So one of the ways is the Sideways podcast, which I think is going to get new listeners. It's going to be more for our listeners to sink their teeth into. And I think it could be a good business model. I mean, if we do one of these every now and again, these Sideways podcasts, and one of them strikes, you know, gets a lot of listeners and stuff, we have ads on our show now. And, you know, one of them might suddenly start raking in some dollar.
Yeah, and we could also always, so we could have the other stories, individual episodes, you could have the Sideways bigger stories, and then if any of those are very popular and people demand more, you can have a third one and open up that door and just have that as a continuous season. There's loads of stuff we could do, but obviously it depends on time, depends on interest, and we'll just kind of play it by ear. But
that
the big rock is the other stories 2.0 for 2017.
Cool.
What's another one of yours?
So
because you've got quite a lot juggling at the minute.
I have, but I feel like there's two main focus for me. So as a writer, there's two things that I really, really want to write more of, and that's write books, which we're doing already, so I'm happy with that, and write and publish comic books. I'm a big comic book reader, read comics all my life, and I really want to publish comics. So one of my big goals is to publish two comic books. And one of those, El Marvo, is we're launching the Kickstarter campaign in February as well. I think it might be late February.
That's exciting.
But it doesn't sound like much. It's only like 24 pages of script, but that's not what takes the time. It's like the producing of it. And the money up front, it's harder to make comics than it is to make books. Because the money up front is you have to pay your artists, you have to pay designers to sort of do the extra perks that we're doing. It's cost us a fair bit. If I wasn't doing this with Ben, I wouldn't have been able to do it because it does cost money.
Yeah. Well, yeah, for the quality of the output and the people that are getting involved in the project as well, you kind of have to put in the money to make the money back.
So that's one of my big rocks. I mean, I don't think it'll take as much time as the main big rock for me, which is publishing books and doing what we're doing there. But it's immensely fun. It's not really going to make much money, I don't think. Indeed, small press comics don't make much money, but it's
portfolio. It fills your creative well.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so have you got another goal?
Not so much a goal in, I guess just another way to approach it. I've seen a lot of indie authors doing this online at the minute, is setting a word of the year. That encompasses what your kind of aim is. And I think, mine this year, and it's written at the front of my bullet journal in massive letters, is publish. Because 2015, I wrote Sins of Smoke, which did pretty well. It was my first novella and it kind of hit number one in a few categories, which was great. 2016, I think beginning of February or middle of January, I published a short story, Flesh That Binds, which didn't really hit any numbers, but that was more of a, for me, just to get used to the process of publishing and to just put something out. But then last year, I technically written at least a first draft of three novels, not including Bayrot and Lazarus. And I don't want to do that anymore. For 2016, I guess if that was to give it a word, it would be, I don't know, polish, as in polish your skills and get your focus sorted. But this is why I kind of have put that bigger aim of putting these books out this year, is that I want to end 2017 by having a good handful of myself to hold
Just a my hot, goods, big, heavy chunk of
just a big wad of my goods in my hand. And yeah, I think that's what I need, because one of the big things, one of the big pushes in the indie author business seems to be an emphasis on speed production. And yeah. as a former editor and a former proofreader, my instinct is that I don't want to create anything that I'm not happy with, that feels rushed, that isn't a quality product that I could be proud of. But at the same time, that last year has given me a chance to hone my process, to feel more confident in the stuff that I'm writing, and to actually focus on the stuff that I need to in order to streamline that process. So for example, the fact that we've taken 7 months to get to where we are and to release The Rut, I think we've set a tentative deadline of the second book being May the 1st, which 3 months.
Okay. Yeah.
February, March, April, and then May the 1st.
Yeah. That sounds right. Yeah.
Which is doable. I mean, what is it? They Rut has had three drafts.
Yeah.
The first was obviously, well, actually, I'd say the first was probably the second longest part. The editing of the second read was longer because I think that required a bit more thought and just a couple of jigabouts here and there to sort the puzzle pieces and work out what it really is. And then the third read through, you did pretty quick, didn't you? Because by that point,
it was it's pretty much that. I mean, I'm at that point just going through, and there's always going to be awkward sentence structures and stuff that have just gotten through there. So it's just cleaning things up, tiny bits of rejigging, like the tiniest, a bit of peppering in some interesting language here and there, but just the finishing touches. Like,
yeah.
It's like the highlights that an artist puts on their portrait at the end.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily need it to go out, but
yeah.
So I think the whole experience of actually getting that book to publish, which it will be February the 1st, 100%, has helped me in my head see the process.
Yeah.
Because I remember when we started, we were saying we're not sure how long each bit's going to take because it's the first time co-writing,
yeah.
Let alone writing something specifically to market. And you'd used beats and stuff before, but not quite as detailed.
No.
So the whole process essentially was new, but this has been phase one. Phase two, we've got everything in place. It should, touch wood, be quicker.
Yeah, we know what we're doing. And I think I've really enjoyed, I found this process of writing these books way easier than writing novels in the past, because it's just been good to hand over to someone else. You get to the point where you're just sick of what you're doing, and then that's normally the point where you finish your draft. And
yeah.
Hand over to someone else, and they go with fresh eyes, and they can look at it.
You look forward to receiving it.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that I was saying to you last week, the fact that I've quite enjoyed the actual editing part, because I've written a lot of first drafts but not gotten to actual rearranging and putting it together. And I found that quite a nice experience, and yeah, just an enjoyable thing to get involved in that, and to like I say, rejig it and make it feel as it would if I were a reader.
I think you might enjoy that more than me. I prefer first drafts. I just find editing just like, it feels like work more than like story creation. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because
part of it? Is it the developmental part, sort of the actual construction of the bigger story, or is it the actual intricacies of sentence structure and proofreading?
Probably the sentence structure type stuff.
Yeah.
Because that is more like, not math, but you know what I mean? It's like this bit doesn't quite make sense, and it's just changing logistics. Like,
this is a bit quick.
Exactly, yeah. But I just want to say, I mean, I'm really happy with the book, Dan. I hope you are. And I want to do more of this.
Honestly, yeah, I'm ecstatic with it. Because we spoke on the 2nd of January about what the plan was. And I think when you were like, publish February 1st, my head just went, huh? What? Oh my God, yeah. It's finally happening. And
yeah.
I think in that initial shock, I did panic a bit and go, oh, it's not ready, but it so is.
Yeah.
It's so just done. And I think, if I was working by myself, I'd run the risk of overworking it and probably just being a bit more cautious. But
yeah.
let's publish and move on to the next one.
Yeah. Okay, so we know our goals, really.
Yep.
I've got like another one which is run a 10K. I'm going to be doing the Great Northern Run, which is the Manchester one. I know a lot of people are going to be doing that. If anyone wants to meet up and do it with me, that's cool.
Drop us a line.
Yeah. So I guess we're pretty much done. I mean, I did want to talk about this briefly. So this week I've been doing, there's a guy called Tyler James. He does this comics launch podcast, and he's all about kickstarting comics, and that's his big thing. But he did a 6-day course where he was like sending out emails and stuff for people to do, and he had like little training videos and stuff. And then I was thinking Wednesday last week, I was doing that. Well, I got my creator work out of the way.
Make a time, manage your time.
Yeah, I got my make a time out of the way. And then I started to do my lesson for the day, which is all about kickstarting comics. And it was like writing a good blurb and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, this is actually really exciting. And then I finished that. And then I got an email from Garrett Robinson. His Writer Wednesday video was out. And I was like, okay, let's do that. And it felt like I'd built my perfect university course. because I was like, I've got like these different, I've got like my morning module, which is my main dissertation work. That's when I do, we're studying indie publishing dissertation or whatever. And then I've got my kickstarting comics module. And then I've got like how to launch a book module. And it feels like it's amazing that we live in this day and age where you just basically create your university, your perfect course out of your interests.
Yeah, it's really easy just to go online and find someone that's teaching something that will be of a benefit to you for free, which is wonderful. Like, I think beginning of December, I was looking up, I put onto a couple of little, they're a bit more boring, they're sort of marketing SEO courses and things, just to look at ways to boost your ranking on Google and how people go about that. And the fact that I could just go, where's this? And then there could be a podcast about it, there could be a video about it, there could be someone actively sending you stuff like Tyler James. And
Yeah,
the internet's kind of a crazy, amazing place.
This sort of training would have cost, I don't know, thousands of pounds a few years ago. So, I don't know, it's just amazing time to be alive and interested in stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Bring on 2017.
Yeah. Okay, so pretty much done here. Have you got anything you want to say to the guys, to the listeners?
If anyone wants to send in their goals and share what they've got going on for this year, then feel free to. We always respond to every email we get. And apart from that, everything that's going on from us is at www.hawkandcleaver.com. And if you join up to the Hawks Walk, you can get yourself a free book.
Yeah, I love reading other people's like goals and blog posts about that kind of thing as well. I find it really inspiring, so let us know. So a quick thanks to Disaster Piece for the intro and outro music, Acast for hosting the podcast. Thank you to the listeners for listening, and a thank you to Dan, my co-host, for being here, because without you, I would be alone.
Woohoo!
On that positive note, see you later.
Always a pleasure.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Story Studio podcast. Still hungering for some podcast goodness? Then why not check out our other show, The Other Stories? Oh, and did you know? Every time you leave us a review in the iTunes store, a puppy is born. Cute, eh? Anyway, toodle pip.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.